Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Pastor Jim Newsom. This is Truth in God's Word Radio. 15th of June, 2016, it's 12 p.m. Eastern Time on the East Coast of the United States, and we are broadcasting you from North Central West Virginia. Going back today to the book of Colossians, Paul's writing to the church of Colossus. Paul never established his church, but he was writing to them concerning the preeminence of Jesus Christ, the fact that he's preexistent, the fact that he's Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and soon coming King. We'll start today, if we can, in chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints in light. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father except it be through me." So we see here giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us qualified to be takers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Now, the Bible says in John 1:12, "But as many as received him," who? Jesus Christ, "to him he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." There we see the preeminence of Jesus Christ. We see the complete dominion of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John, in the book of Revelation, he saw the vision of Jesus in his glorified state. He said, "Hair like wool, feet like brass, eyes like fire, and his mouth proceeds a two-edged sword. Upon his vesture was written the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So through the blood of Jesus Christ shed at his cross 2,000 years ago, he has given me and you the power to become the sons of God. Now this is the gospel, the most important thing in the world, the most important thing in your life and my life is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said he's not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So we see here what value that God puts on mankind. He says in his word, "For God so loved this world, or the people in it, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. He gave his only begotten Son." Only begotten Son. One Lord, one baptism, one way. We are monotheistic. We believe in one Lord. And that Lord is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, 6 and 7, quoting David, "But one in a certain place," which was David, "testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou would visit him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands." Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the thoughts that I have toward you to prosper you, to give you an expected end. When you seek me with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your being." He gave his all, and he expects our all. Perfect submission. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Isaiah 54:17 states, and today we take this as contemporary meaning of what we have been provided for through the cross of Jesus Christ, that no weapon that is formed against me and you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against us in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Who's our righteousness? Jesus Christ is our righteousness. We have none. The Bible declares that our righteousness is but filthy rags. So we have an inheritance. Romans 8:17 says, if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that you suffer with him, that ye may be glorified together. So we have a picture of our inheritance and who we are in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we go to verse 13, Colossians chapter 1. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Who hath delivered us? We have been moved. An exchange has happened. Now, the Word of God declares that anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. Now, I ask you the question today, did Jesus Christ deserve to be cursed? Bible, John said when he saw him coming down to the River Jordan, that John the Baptist might baptize him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Now, in Old Testament sacrifices, the lamb was used many times, but it had to be a lamb without blemish, without spot, a lamb of the first year or a yearling. And this perfect lamb was given that the sins of the people might be atoned for. So John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Remember, John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was the one who announced him. And he announced the fact that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. So by his perfect sacrifice, the Bible declares that we are delivered from the powers of darkness, or the power of darkness. And we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son through the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. And as I said, on the Word of God says that on a tree hangs anyone that is cursed. Now, I ask you the question before was, did Jesus Christ deserve to be cursed? No, he didn't. Who did? We did. If we get our just dues, if we think that we can come before God Almighty justified, then we are way out of the ballpark. Because the only justification that we have is justification by faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. For this reason, the Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested or brought into this world, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, the Bible declares that Jesus in his ministry went about doing good, healing those who were oppressed of the devil, Here we see that we are delivered from the power of darkness. We have, according to the Word of God, being moved from out of the influence, if we choose to be, of the powers of darkness. The Bible says, who once we walked unbeknownst, that we were aliens to the kingdom of God, but because of grace and because of mercy, we have been forgiven, we have been delivered, and we have been translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are rescued. The Bible declares that God's arm is not shortened, neither is his ear cauliflower, that he cannot hear the cries of his people, that he is more than able to deliver us. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved and shall be delivered. So we've been translated, turned away, put out of, so to speak. The Bible says we are translated out of the kingdom with the power of darkness. Now, from Satan and his power, the kingdom of sin, the kingdom of sickness, the kingdom of depravity, the kingdom of poverty, the kingdom of every downfall of mankind, the blood of Jesus Christ has set us free. And we are translated into the government of the Son of God and his love. Now, the Bible declares that the government shall be on his shoulders. Now, we will see that come to pass in a greater measure at the end of this age, but make no mistake about it, God is still in control. And we are not of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of it. The Bible declares that we are to be peculiar. Doesn't mean we run around acting weird all the time, but we are not of this world. We are citizens of another world. We recognize through the Spirit of God that we are in a temporal situation. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. When we are born, we progressively move towards dying. This body, this flesh, this blood. But make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ has delivered our eternal souls. The Bible declares, he said, "Behold, I make all things new." So let's go to verse 14. In whom we have redemption. We are bought back through how? His blood. The only way and the only price that God Almighty could be satisfied with to satisfy his wrath against sin. The Bible declares that Jesus Christ was smitten of God. We should have been smitten, but he was smitten. We should have been crucified, which would have saved nobody because of our DNA, because of the fact that we are conceived in sin, born into sin, and every one of us needs a redeemer. So we have redemption through his blood. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible declares there is no remission of sin. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, with what's going on in the world today, with all the fear, with all the chaos, with everything that's going on, we are clearly at the end of this age. And we used to sing the song years ago when I was a child, in times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. But your anchor holds and it grips that solid rock, which is who? Christ Jesus. Now, he made the statement to Peter when Peter said, thou art the Christ. He said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but by the Spirit of God and what has been revealed to you upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against that which I have built. So the only power to break sin in our life is the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So he took away the power of sin. Now the power of sin brings shame, brings guilt, brings condemnation. But the Word of God says that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after what? The Spirit. Not after the flesh. We don't walk in flesh and blood. We walk by faith. We are justified by faith, the Word of God says. And he says, to go on, he says in verse 2 of Romans 8, for the law of the Spirit. See the judicial side here? The law of the Spirit of life. Now, who brings life but the Holy Spirit? Who brings life? In Christ Jesus has made me and you free from the law of sin and death. Now, this is what people say, you can take this to the bank because this is the Word of God. Now, how long will we be halted between two opinions? See, we must believe in the days in which we're living the Word of God, that it is infallible, that it is immovable, that it'll never pass away, that when it's brought forth, that it'll go forth and do what it was sent to do, that it will not come back void to God. One plants and one waters, but God brings the increase. So we have been delivered, redeemed. The Bible says, when you see these things come to pass, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. The Bible says that we will be changed in an instant by the power of Almighty God. Read verse 15, Colossians chapter 1. Who is the image? Who? We're talking about Jesus Christ. Is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, which means he is the creator. He is the exact reproduction of Jesus Christ, of God Almighty. He is the Son of the living God. He is God manifested in the flesh. All man, but all God. One mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Never forget his humanity. He had to be a man. That's why the Bible declares he is touched with our infirmities, that where we are going, he has already been. Think about this. He has already went before us, and the Bible says if God be for us, then who can possibly be against us? Who's the image of the visible God, the firstborn of every creature. 16 says, for by him, by who? Jesus Christ, were all things created that are where? In heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Things that are seen or not seen, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities, or powers. Ephesians 6 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. They were created. The fallen ones were created beings. Satan was a created being. He had tried to, through the sin of pride, exalt himself above God Almighty, and it did not work well for him. All things are created by him and for him. All things created by him and what? For him. Think about this today. By him and for him. Glory to God. Okay. And he is, verse 17, he is before what? All things. All things. And by him, all things consist. Do you see the point here? That he's the firstborn of all creation. And by him, all things consist. All things are dependent upon him. It's God Almighty that tells the ocean how far to come. It was God Almighty who pulled Job aside and said, "Where were you when I hung the stars?" And the sons of the morning sang songs and shouted, "Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth?" See, just pointing to our meager existence as men, but yet God Almighty is mindful of us. He is mindful of us. So, verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church of the living God. He is the head. He is the owner. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the one that purchased the church with his own blood. He's the one reverting back to him and Peter when they were speaking, and Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." This is the one who the Word of God says there will be no spot nor wrinkle. This is the church that God will deal with. This is where judgment begins, is at the house of God. This is, we are the ones that he deals with. We are the one that he purges. We are the one that he chastises, that he might purge us, that we might put on more fruit or bring on better healthy leaves within our lives and be that what God would want us to be. He told the prophet, he said, "Go down to the potter's house and get you on the potter's wheel." What does a potter do but shape and form and fashion under pressure, sometimes severe pressure? He promises us things like, "Because they hated me, they'll hate you." He promises the church that persecution will come to the body of Christ. And it's on the way, and it's here in many ways, shaped, and formed, and it will escalate as we live, come to the end of this age. And the spirit of Antichrist, which already dwells on the face of this earth, is waiting for the manifestation of what the Bible calls a man of sin or the son of perdition. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This shows the preeminence and the pre-existence of God Almighty, the Trinity, the God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. In the beginning, God. God was never created. He is God all by himself. So next time we'll take up again here with verse 17 in Colossians chapter 1. If you don't know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Call upon his name today, and the Word of God says you shall be delivered. By his precious stripes we are healed, and he was chastised for our peace of mind. Father, we come to you. We thank you today for your Word. We thank you that it will not come back void, but it will do what you sent it to do. Whosoever ears falls on today, Lord, let it penetrate the hearts and the minds for your glory, that you might be lifted up, that all men might be drawn unto you in this day, this age, this time of perilous time, this time the chaos, Lord, is covering this world, that the only sense of peace, the only sense of contentment is in you, because you are the Prince of Peace. The only hope is in you, Jesus. And we thank you today for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Touch the sick today as they lay hands on their body. And by the stripes of Jesus Christ, they're healed. Every disease dies and wilts before the name of Jesus. And every oppressing spirit and depressing spirit, because you was chastised for our peace of mind. You give us not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let everyone that's fighting a mental problem today, let them be delivered by the power of God, that they might be set free, and those the Son set free is free indeed. Know that Jesus Christ is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life, and no man comes unto the Father except it be through him. Seek him while he may be found. Look unto the hills when cometh your redemption. Until next time, God bless.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthintheword777@gmail.com. The Word of God declares, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one of you.